Shakti Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 90, entitled The Summary of Lord Krishna's Glories, Texts 26 through 31. I'll read 26 through 30, and we'll chant responsibly text 31. Shutamatra piyastrinam prashayaka shatemana uru gaya rugitova pashyantinam chakim puna. The Lord, whom countless songs glorify in countless ways, forcibly attracts the minds of all women who simply hear about him. What to speak then of those women who see him directly? Translation. And how could one possibly describe the great austerities that have been performed by the women who perfectly served him, the spiritual master of the universe, in pure ecstatic love? Thinking of him as their husband, they rendered such intimate services as massaging his feet. Thus observing the principles of duty enunciated in the Vedas, Lord Krishna, the goal of the saintly persons, repeatedly demonstrated how one can achieve at home the objectives of religiosity, economic development, and regulated sense gratification. While fulfilling the highest standard of religious householder life, Lord Krishna maintained more than 16,100 wives. Among these jewel-like women were eight principal queens headed by Rukmini. I have already described them one after another, O King, along with their sons. And today's text, chanting, number 31. Eka kasyam dasadasa Krishna jijana ratmajan Yavatya atmana bhaya Amoga gata ishvara Eka kasyam dasadasa Krishna jijana datmajan Yavatya atmana bhaya Amoga gatya ishvara Ekaikasyam dasa dasa Krishna jijana datmajan Yavatya atmano bhaya Amoga gatya ishvara. Ladies.
Krishna
Eka ekasyam. In each one of them. Dasa dasa. Tanich. Krishna.
Krishna.
Ajijanat. Begat. Atmajan. Sons. Yavatya. As many as. Atmana. His. Barya. Wives. Amoga. Never frustrated. I thought that was a good word in this verse. I mean, all of them are good, but that particular one's a very nice one. Gati is effort. Ishwara, the Supreme Lord. Translation. The Supreme Lord Krishna, whose endeavor never fails, begot 10 sons in each of his many wives. The Supreme Lord Krishna, whose endeavor never fails, begot 10 sons in each of his many wives. Report by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. It's a little long. Get comfortable. The total number of Lord Krishna's sons was thus 161,080. And he also had a daughter by each wife. End of purport. Om Jnanatha Narendra Shalakara Shaksa Unmintam Natasmai Sri Guru Venamaha Mukam Karoti Vachilam Pandunam Jaitya Giri Yapripa Tamaham Vande Sri Guru Venamaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Shivasa Gaura Bhakti Nanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 It's a good thing we have a supplemental occasion today. This doesn't give a whole lot to work with, although these last few days so many devotees have spoken so nicely on very little, apparently very little, depending on the level of one's realization. We hear throughout the Bhagavatam, it's a regular topic that we come across, how the incarnations of Krishna, they're likened unto the endless waves of an ocean. This is mentioned in various places, most prominently in the first canto, again in the third canto, and significantly in the eighth canto, and many other places as well. This indicates that the Lord has many, many different ways in which he will appear on the scene to perform his activities, whether they are specifically related to uplifting the universe or whether they're specifically related to his own pleasure, unlimited incarnations. So it should come as no surprise that, as this first verse says, the Lord is described by countless songs that glorify him in countless ways. Now, if we took just the basic incarnations listed in the first canto, third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and comprised one song for each of the qualities of each of those incarnations, well, there's a rather lengthy list right there. What to speak of if we look at the countless songs that can be offered for the activities of the Lord just in his form as Bhagavan Sri Krishna in Vrindavan. And we have many songs like that. Actually, just as an example, if we look at the list of the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, is our most prolific, one of our most prolific, if not the most prolific, authors of Vaishnava songs. In his Saranagati, there are 46 songs. In his Gitamala, there are 128 songs. In his Gitavali, there are 70 songs. And in his Kalyanakalpataru, there are 70 songs as well. Now, this is just four of the collections of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we know Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote endless collections of songs. So just from these four collections, we have 314 songs glorifying the different activities of Krishna. That's just one author. Then, of course, you have Narottam Das Thakur. His Pratana has 57 songs in it. So now you're at like 360, 370 songs. Just the small view of works from one author and a small collection of the works from another author. And that's just two authors. So if someone were to do an elaborate study, and I can see who that someone might be, if someone were to do an elaborate study, we could see that there are, yes, countless songs that glorify the Lord in countless ways, because each one of these songs has a different mood to it, a different meter, approaches a different subject matter, like that. So these songs have one purpose and one purpose alone. Well, two purposes. One is to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but more importantly is to capture the mind of the devotees. Because the nature of this world is that our mind is captured by so many things. I mean, you don't even have to endeavor very hard, and the mind becomes captured very easily. And we don't even realize how much of an impact sound vibration has. I've mentioned this in other circumstances, but it seems particularly applicable here. And this is true in any place, but in particular where I work, they have this soundtrack that plays. Now, I've worked there for 7 years, seven plus, and it's the same stinking soundtrack for the entire 7 years. I can tell you what's coming up next. And I don't even know any of these songs. It's a collection of the greatest hits of the 80s that nobody wants to remember. And you do your best to avoid it. And it's a common joke amongst all the employees there about it, because it's so horrible. But because you work in that environment 8 hours every day, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week, it subtly works itself into your consciousness, because you're hearing it. To the point that where you wake up in the morning and there's some dumb, stupid, what do they call it, earworm stuck in your head that you inadvertently heard the other day. Or you're in the shower and suddenly, boom, there's, you know. So these sound vibrations are very subtle. And the worst point yet is that exact same soundtrack is used in Publix and Kohl's and Target. So wherever you go, it's like, oh God, I'm surrounded by this. So this is the nature of sound vibration. Even you pretend not to hear it, because you're exposed to it, it infects you. You know, Prabhupada uses the classic example that therefore before a doctor goes into a field of disease where he's going to be treating patients, he injects himself first to protect himself. So we have to protect ourselves by the sound vibration of the holy name. We have to absorb ourselves in listening to kirtan. We have to absorb ourselves in having kirtan on in our home, in our car, in our ear, so that what we then find is that sound vibration that keeps popping up regularly in our lives becomes the holy name. And we have so many opportunities here. We just, with no effort at all, listed almost 400. So this is the opportunity for the devotee to protect themselves. This is the impetus for the devotee to protect themselves from this. And it can be done in many different ways. I have a little secret that I learned several years ago at Lowe's. I keep an MP3 player, a little MP3 player in my pocket, and I have the headphone wire running up underneath my shirt. And beneath the collar of my shirt, everybody thinks I wear a tie because it's, you know, fashionable, which of course it is. But it also keeps my collar a little bit closed, because underneath my collar, I have a set of headphones right there, a set of earplugs. And they're attached to my shirt. And so I have this little bubble of kirtan that I play all day. And you can't really hear it anywhere else. But it's that, and I'll tell you honestly, it's the same kirtan for the last 2 years. It's a kirtan from Vrindavan, Kartik, 2014, when I was with Madhava Prabhu. And it's such a sweet kirtan. And it's the only one I listen to all day long. It's playing. Little button right there. I have to hit it if a manager comes by and wants to talk to me or a customer needs assistance. If that customer happens to be Jatari or some other devotee, I just let it play. So in this way, I've got this little kirtan bubble. And that's the doctor injecting himself before he goes into the diseased environment. So this is what we have to do. We have to figure some way that we can inject ourselves with the holy name, no matter what it is. So these countless songs have one purpose, and that is to capture the mind of those devotees who aspire to get free from this material world. Now, moving on to the next verse. I can actually find those verses here. All right. There, currently, in our recent ISKCON time, there's much talk about women. Women can do this, women can't do that, women should do this, women shouldn't do that, so on and so on and so on. Well, let me just say this. In this chapter, it certainly appears that being a woman has some pretty sizable benefits. These wives of the Lord are some of the most fortunate personalities in all of creation. And a great part of their fortune is due in no small fact that they have the form of a woman. Now this first verse describing them here breaks the ladies down into two particular groups. The first group is those that are attracted to the Lord simply by hearing about it. Just the process of hearing. Now, this age that we live in, of course, this description of this chapter is in a different age, but in the current age that we live in, the process that we're given is the easiest process for self-realization in all of history, and that is hearing and chanting. Very simple. You listen, you repeat. Just like when we chant the verse, it's a very easy thing. Sometimes the meter is a little complicated, but you listen to it, you repeat it. So this is the process that is what's expected for this particular time we live in. And it's very simple. It's very easy. Now, some of us have been making an effort at this hearing and chanting for 40 plus years. So then the question needs to be asked, are we fully attracted to the Lord yet? Because these wives of the Lord, simply by hearing about him, their mind becomes completely attracted to him. So we should aspire to be like them, simply by hearing about them. Because we've been hearing about the Lord for 40 years. Some of us more, some of us less. Depending on how attentive we were during that time, depending upon how much we endeavored during that time to expand our hearing beyond just the basic 16 rounds and, you know, kirtan. With books, Prabhupada said books are also considered hearing because you're taking that information in. So how much of that has completely absorbed our mind now that we're, oh, I want Krishna, nothing but, nothing other than Krishna. I won't even embarrass anybody asking you to raise your hand if that's you, because I don't think any of our hands would go up. Maybe one or two here. But the point is that these ladies, simply by hearing about Krishna, their mind became completely absorbed in them. It's quite an aspiration to have, simply by hearing. Now, we have a second group described here, and that's those who had the chance to see him. Now, this indicates that the first group didn't see him, they just heard him, heard about him. And so by that hearing about him, they become attracted. And now we have the second group, which not only hear about him, this group of ladies, but they see him as well. So that's the combination of the two, hearing and chanting, the chanting being visual in this case, if you want to look at it that way. So in that verse, the use of the term what to speak indicates that the second group is considered to be even better than the first group. So here's the first group. Just by hearing about Krishna, they become completely attracted to him. The second group says, what to speak of those who heard and saw? So we can understand that hearing is good, but to hear and see, in other words, to come to the temple, to see Radha Shyam Sundar is even better. So this process gives one more absorption, more of the senses are absorbed in the process of seeing and remembering Krishna. Then we go to the third verse, and we get a third group. And this group, wow, this group really gets the full package. They not only hear about Krishna, they not only see Krishna, but they also personally serve him. So to hear Krishna, to see him, and then to do some service. Now this is a pretty progressive understanding of how you would hear about someone, then you would see them, and then you would do some service for them. You know? Like that. This is what we aspire for. So these wives, this particular group, they're given something even more than the second one. It's a progressive absorption, and it's a progressive that's what I'm looking for. It becomes more sweet. You know? Just hearing, then hearing and seeing, then hearing and seeing and serving. So in the same way, we hear about the deities, we hear about how nice Radha Shyam Sundar looked. You'll bump into a devotee somewhere. Oh, did you see the deities this morning? Oh my God, that object is so incredible. Did you see how the turban was triple dimensional? It was just like, it was unbelievable. And that garland, oh, who can make such incredible... So we hear about that. So then we think, oh, you know, tomorrow I should go and see the deities. No, why wait till tomorrow? This afternoon when the deities reopen after their afternoon nap, I'll go and see them then. And then we see them. And then we think, oh, this is so beautiful. I should do some service. Clean the pujari room, try and get on the dressing schedule. Huh, good luck with that. You know, make a garland, something, you know. So this is the process, and this is all here in the Bhagavatam as an example for us to be an impetus in our own devotional service. So now, it goes further and mentions that this third group, they got this position. How did they get this position? By performing austerities that cannot be described. Pandava Nirjala Kadasi, maybe? Possibly. By performing austerities that cannot be described. So this process of doing austerity allows us the entrance into this special third group of personalities. We get to render service directly to the Lord. Now, you know, the personal service is a little exclusive to this third group. They have something that the others don't. And not in a, nee, 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 nah, I got it, you don't. Not like that. Not at all in a jealous or arrogant or condescending way, but in a way that by dint of the service they've rendered, by dint of the focus, by dint of the complete absorption, they've now been given that personal service. So, just like back to dressing the deity, you want to get on the dressing schedule? Go sweep the floor in a pajama. And clean the plates. And make the garment. And fold the clothes. Bum, 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 bum. Progressively. And then Taipuri says, oh, you're around a lot. Would you like to help dress the little demons? Bum. Bum, bum. Would you like to dress Radha Shyam today? So in this way, by qualifying ourselves through this austerity, we get this personal service to the Lord. How many of us had personal service to Srila Prabhupada? Not that many. A mere handful. But those God brothers and God sisters who did have that personal service in abundance, well, they held a very special place in the heart of the followers of Srila Prabhupada. You know, Vinodasi, Harisari, Shruti Kirti, you know, just the list goes on and on and on. People that had such intimate, long-term personal service to Prabhupada. They become very dear to the person they're serving, Srila Prabhupada, but they become equally dear to those who are the followers of that person. How many people just have such great appreciation and admiration for Nithai Priya because of the way she serves Radha Shyam Sundar? So, in the same way, it's, you know, something that can enthuse us and be an impetus for us in our own devotional service. Now, This third group, they have personal service to the Lord. What kind of personal service? Not just washing his cloth. Not just bringing his lunch. Here it comes. The service of Lakshmi Devi, massaging his feet. Now, Lakshmi Devi is known. Her reputation is massaging the feet of Vishnu. I mean, some people worship because they want money and all, but they miss the boat. Lakshmi's real glory is that she's always at the feet of Lord Vishnu massaging those feet. This is her service. But by dint of their austerities, by dint of their being absorbed in hearing, by dint of seeing, this third group of ladies, they get to massage the feet of the Lord. Now, you're not going to get that opportunity very easily. Even Srimati Radharani rarely gets that opportunity. And if she does happen to, it's in a very private, you know, out-of-sight circumstance. Lakshmi Devi publicly gets to do it. So, what does this tell us about all of these events being described here? Verse 28 gives us that. Verse 28 says, thus observing the principles of duty enunciated in the Vedas, Lord Krishna, the goal of the saintly devotees, very important phrase there. Who is Lord Krishna? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. He's the goal of the saintly devotees. He repeatedly demonstrated how one can achieve at home the objectives of religiosity, economic development, and regulated sense gratification. So he's showing us, all right, you're a householder. Don't fret. Follow this example, and you can get all the full benefits. Religiosity, economic development, and regulated sense gratification. I like the use of the word regulated there. Because after all, we're talking about grihastha life, not grihamedi life. Grihamedi life, you have endless sense gratification. Oh boy, do you get sense gratification. But it's going to drag you to hell. And you're going to pay a very, very steep price for it. Regulated sense gratification means that this is a means that will allow you to advance spiritually. So, now, in case we happen to be thinking, okay, well, great. Krishna was a householder. He showed how to be a householder. I can do like that, and I can become just like him. Well, just to prove there's no room for this type of thinking, here's the kicker. While fulfilling the highest standards of religious householder life, okay, I can do that, Lord Krishna maintained more than 16,100 wives. All right, well, that pretty much ends that conversation. So there you go. If there's any doubt at all about our inability to be God, if there's any doubt, some fool thinks, oh, I can still be God. It just got solved. We can't even maintain one wife fully satisfied, perfectly happy, and living in a spanking, opulent palace. And every time some fool tries to do it, it just falls apart like a house of cards. So this is one of the exclusive qualities of Krishna that puts him way above anybody that tries to be a so-called imitation God. Now, the following verse makes mention of the eight additional main wives. By the way, these main wives have a name. They're called the Astabharyas. This is just like we have the Astakavis, the eight poet disciples of the Goswamis, the Astashakis. Well, these are the Astabharyas, the eight principal wives. Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, Kalindi, Mitravinda, Satya, Bhadra, and Lakshmi. These are the eight main wives. And as the verse says, they've already been described, so I won't describe them further, and neither will I. So, finally, we come to the conclusion verse of today. Very nice verse. Okay. You think it's hard raising a couple of kids? All right, maybe you've got five kids. Okay, maybe you push the envelope, you've got eight kids. I mean, I know a couple people that have eight kids. You know, but I mean, most couples nowadays, they call it quits after two. All right, I got my two kids, I'm done. Some saintly persons, they have three. Some really Mahabhagavats, they have five. But here's the clincher. Here is how supreme Krishna is. 161,080 boys in the house. That's a lot of testosterone, ladies. Okay, granted, there's only 10 per house, but it's still Krishna's sons. There are 161,080 boys. I get tired just thinking about it. I mean, and not to be forgotten, there's a daughter in each house too, so he's got 11. So that's 16,108 wives and 16,108 daughters for a total of 177,188 children at the same time. I think it's pretty clear that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are the purposes of Srimad Bhagavatam to elucidate for us the activities of the Lord in such a way that there becomes no question as to the fact that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our purpose in life is to serve Him. And how do we serve Him? Well, one of the ways we serve Him is by observing Pandavanirjala Ekadasi, which is today. Now, before I start speaking about Pandavanirjala Ekadasi, I'm going to give a disclaimer. I didn't write these verses. Some of them are pretty heavy. I'm just the messenger. And there'll be some caveats thrown in at the end, so hold your breath and don't get start sweating too badly. But this Ekadasi is during the hottest season of the year, and it's during the hottest season for a reason. It says if one can perform this upavasya, upavasya means abstinence from all food, without water in addition, one is considered to have performed a great feat. One may take only Charanamrita and Achman, and only three drops of each. I remember one brahmachari friend of mine, well, we can only take Charanamrita. He's got a whole cup of Charanamrita. And that's back when we used to have the yogurt and the Charanamrita and all that. All right. I'm good for the day. No, not like that. Then on the Dwadasi, one should give full pots of water in charity to a Brahmin and feed Brahmins before taking one's own meal. However, I'm not going to channel the Sanskrit on these verses. Hari Bhakti Vilas, 15th chapter, verse 25, quotes the Padma Purana, Vyasadeva speaking to Bhishmadeva. My son, Lord Keshava, who holds the club, the disc, the conch, and the lotus flower in his hand, has personally told me that all the merit achieved by fasting on any Ekadasi in the year can be obtained by fasting on this one Ekadasi called Nirjala Ekadasi. Of this there should be no doubt. Sometimes people say, really? You know, I mean, all the Ekadasis. Of this there should be no doubt. My Bhakti Vilas continues, verse 33. Anyone who does not fast on this particular Ekadasi called Nirjala Ekadasi should be understood to be sinful, corrupt, and suicidal. Without a doubt. The messenger. So there's a story behind this Pandavanirjala Ekadasi. Comes from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. We all know that Bhimasen, one of the Pandavas, the younger brother of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and once he went to Srila Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva, of course, the grandfather of the Pandavas. And he said, he posed the following question. Is it possible to return to the spiritual world without having observed all the rules and regulations for the Ekadasi fast? And Bhimasen continued. He said, oh, greatly intelligent and learned grandfather, my brother Yudhishthira, my dear mother Kunti, my beloved wife Draupadi, as well as Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadeva, they all fast completely on each Ekadasi. I have a couple of friends that I know that fast. Every single Ekadasi near John.
Amazing. And they follow all the rules, the guidelines, and regulative principles instructed for this day. Being very religious, they always tell me that I should fast on this day too. What a learned grandfather. I tell them I cannot go without eating. I am the son of Vayu. Samaprana. Samaprana. This is one of the five life heirs during the grand ceremony for the children. Offerings are made into the fire for the five life heirs. One of those is the digestive air of hunger. This is unbearable within me. I can give widely in charity. I can worship Lord Keshava properly with all numbers of upacharas. But do not ask me to fast on Ekadasi. Please, tell me how can I attain these merits without fasting? So Vyasadeva listened very attentively to these words. And then he said to Bhima, if you want to go to the heavenly planets and avoid the hellish planets, you must indeed fast on both the light and dark Ekadasis. Bhima replied completely in anxiety, Oh, great saintly, intelligent grandfather, please listen to my plea. Oh, greatest of the Munis, since I cannot live to eat only once in a day, how is it possible that I fast completely for a day? Within my stomach burns a special fire named Vrika. It is the fire of digestion. Thus, he's known as... It mentions Agni is divided into three categories. Dhaba Agni, the fire of wood. Jata Agni, the fire in the digestion of the stomach. And Vadav Agni, the fire that creates fog when the hot and the cold mix together in the climate. So another name for the fire of digestion it mentions is Vrika. He continues, only when I eat to my full satisfaction does the fire in my stomach become satisfied. You might remember that when the Pandavas were in banishment, that they would go out incognito and beg. You know, they couldn't be the Pandavas. No, they were hiding, so they would go out and beg, and whatever they begged, all five brothers would go and beg, and they would come and give everything to their mother. She would divide it in half. Bhima got half of it, and everybody else split the other part up. And still, he was never satisfied. He was always hungry. It's like having a teenager in your house all the time. Only when I eat to my full satisfaction does the fire in my stomach become satisfied. Oh, great sage, I might possibly be able to fast only once. So I beg you, please tell me of an Ekadasi that is worthy of my fasting and that includes all the other Ekadasis. Then I shall faithfully fast and hopefully still become eligible for liberation's release. Vyasadeva thought, and then he replied, O king, you have heard from me about the various kinds of occupational duties, such as the elaborate Vedic ceremonies and pujas. In the Kali Yuga, however, no one will be able to observe any of these occupational functional duties properly. I shall therefore tell you, at practically no expense, one can endure some small austerity, and achieve the greatest benefit and resultant happiness. The essence of this is written in the Vedic literatures known as the Puranas. And it says that if one should not eat on either the dark or light fortnight Ekadasis, this will be the result. One who fasts on these Ekadasis is saved from going to the hellish planets. Hearing Srila Vyasadeva's words, the son of Vayu, Bhimasen, the strongest of all warriors, became frightened and began to shake like the leaf on a banyan tree in the strong wind. Bhimasen, frightened and all, said to his father, his grandfather, Oh, grandfather, what should I do? I'm completely ill-equipped to fast twice in a month throughout the year. Please, there must be one fasting day that will bestow the greatest of benefit upon me. Vyasadeva thought and replied, Without drinking even water, you should fast on the Ekadasi that occurs during the light fortnight of the month of Jyestha, which is now, when the sun travels in the sign of Taurus and Gemini. According to learned personalities, on this day one may bathe and perform achman for purification. While performing Achman, one may drink only that amount of water equal to a drop of gold, or that will be the size of a mustard seed. Okay, Achman.
Oh, here, right on.
Oh, no, just a drop. Only this amount of water should be placed in the right palm for sipping, which one should make to form the ear of a cow. If one drinks more than this, he might as well have drunk wine. This should be done in the heat of the summer. One must certainly not eat anything, for if one does, he breaks the fast. This rigid fast is in effect from sunrise on the Akadasi day to sunrise on the Dwadasi day. The Vedic culture does not end at midnight. Okay, sweet rice! No, that's the way to talk about it. If a person endeavors to observe this great fast very strictly, he easily achieves the results of observing all 24 other Akadasi fasts throughout the year. Boom, there it is. On the Dwadasi the following morning, one should bathe. Then according to the prescribed rules, guidelines, and regulative injunctions, and of course depending on one's ability, one should give gold or at least water to a worthy brahmana. Finally, he should cheerfully honor prasadam. I don't think the addition of the word cheerfully was needed. I mean, I'm pretty sure you're going to be cheerful. O Bhima Sen, one who can fast on this special Akadasi in this manner reaps the benefit of having fasted on every Akadasi throughout the year. There is no doubt, nor should there be. O Bhima, now hear the specific merits one gets by fasting on this Akadasi. The Supreme Lord Keshava, who holds a conch, disc, club, and lotus, personally told me, everyone should take shelter of me and follow my instructions. Then he told me that one who fasts on this Akadasi without even drinking water or eating anything becomes free of all sinful reactions, and that one who observes this difficult nirjal on the Jyeshtha Shukla Akadasi truly reaps the benefit of all other Akadasis. Now, time's getting a little short, and there's several other benefits that are listed here. Several. Quite a lot of several. 2 pages worth of several. Let's just settle it to say that, wow, you're really going to be glad you did this. There's so many benefits. But I'm pushing ahead because there's some caveats I want to throw in here at the end. Here we go. Oh, best of the beings, any man or woman who observes this fast properly and worships the Supreme Lord who sleeps on the water and who on the next day satisfies a qualified brahmana with nice sweets and a donation of cows and money, such a person certainly pleases the Supreme Lord Vasudeva so much that 100 previous generations of his family undoubtedly go to the Supreme Lord's abode. Even though they may have been very sinful, of bad character, guilty of suicide, and other acts. Indeed, one who observes this amazing Akadasi rides on a glorious celestial plane to the Lord's abode. On this day, one who gives a brahmana a water pot, an umbrella, or shoes surely goes to the heavenly planets. Indeed, if one simply hears about these glories, one also attains the transcendental abode of the Lord. Whoever performs the Shraddha ceremony to the forefathers on the dark moon day called Amavasya, particularly if it occurs at the time of the solar eclipse, undoubtedly achieves great merit. But that same merit is achieved by one who simply hears the sacred narration. It is so powerful and so dear to the Lord. Excuse me. O Bhima Sen, after this Akadasi fast and donating the recommended items according to one's ability, the devotee should feed Brahmins and then honor prasadam silently. Vyasadeva concluded, I strongly urge you, therefore, to fast on this auspicious, purifying, sin-devouring Akadasi in such a way that I have outlined. Thus, you will be completely freed of all sins and reach the supreme abode. Nice. So what does Prabhupada say about this? Morning Walk, June 7th, 1976, Los Angeles. Brahmeshwar. On the calendar, it says Today is Bhima Ekadasi.
Prabhupada.
Bhima Ekadasi. Yes, yes. Ramashwar. So I've been told that if one fasts on Bhima Ekadasi, it is like fasting on all Ekadasis. Is that true?
Prabhupada.
Yes, yes. Ekadasi, it is meant for fasting. Bhima Ekadasi, Arjuna Ekadasi, either way, one should be fasting. But we cannot fast. Therefore, we take a little fruit, a little milk. Otherwise, yes, Ekadasi means fasting. Tamal Krishna. If it is possible, should we go without eating at all? I wonder in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's tone, was there a bit of fear that Prabhupada would say yes? So he says like that, and Prabhupada says, yes, but do not lie down and sleep. Mahindra then says, eating Mahaprasadam is also fasting? Prabhupada says, who says? Mahindra says, well, so-and-so Swami told me that you said that to him once. And he says that I have said and you have heard from him. Prabhupada says, if there is a service and on your fasting the service becomes stopped, then you should eat. First consideration is service. Now, if somebody feels weak, they can take Mahaprasad, but continue to render service. This is the important part. From a lecture in Bombay, April 4th, 1971. So this process should be adopted. How to become Sukritina. Sukritina means Yajna Dana Tapat Kriya. One must perform sacrifices as prescribed in the Shastras, and they must give in charity their hard-earned money for Krishna's purpose. This is called dana. Yajna, dana, and tapasya. Just like Ekadasi day. There is no eating sumptuously. Simply you take little fruits and milk. Try to avoid that also. You don't even take water. That is really Ekadasi. But because we cannot do, in the Kali Yuga it is a different time, therefore you are allowed to take little fruit and milk. This is called Anukalpa. So from Padma Purana, a couple of Markandeya Purana, a couple of closing considerations on this point. One who is physically unable to fast on Ekadasi may read the glories of each Ekadasi when it occurs and recite the names of those Ekadasis and thus achieve the same goal as the person who observes the full Ekadasi vow. Whether one is a Vaishnava or a Shaivite, everyone should fast on Ekadasi. Hari Bhakti Vilas, 12th chapter, verse 91. A child, an old man, or a person unable to fast can take something to eat in the evening or once in the day, whether it be milk, fruit, or water, but should properly follow the Ekadasi fast. One should not give up fasting on Ekadasi. Next verse, in that same place. Any person who is diseased, who is dominated by bile, and that means physically, not by your character, or who is aged more than 30 years after leaving their household life, past the age of 80, they are advised that they may eat in the evening on Ekadasi day. Water, fruit, roots, milk, ghee, the request of a Brahmin, the order of the spiritual master, and medicine do not break one's fast. If one is unable, so there we have some caveats for those of you that are thinking, oh, there's no way. But I would like to toss in one caveat of my own and then we'll wrap this up. If you're unable to perform Nirjala Ekadasi, that's okay. I would offer the following vrata for you. Avoid prajalpa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur classifies prajalpa as 8 different types. So if you're thinking, oh, well, I can't do this Nirjala, then my humble suggestion would be to do this vrata. Number 1, useless talks, those which can be known as not to be about Lord Hari, such as CNN or the NBA results or whatever. Number 2, arguments. These would be godless arguments that are not based on the Vedas, or so-called debates of spiritual topics one might find on various internet sites. Gossip. This is talking about other people for the purpose of establishing one's own reputation. Debates. These represent a desire to have conquest. Fault finding in others. This is actually simply imposing one's bad habits on other people. Speaking falsehoods. This is done due to one's own self-interest. Blaspheming devotees. This simply destroys the devotional creeper and is the worst type of jhopa of all. And lastly, worldly talk. Those subjects that are devoid of God consciousness. Third canto describes these as kukita and matigni. Bad words that kill the intelligence. So, these eight things, if one is not able to do in their jaw, which should be encouraged, it's not that hard. If one's not able to do, at least take up these eight vrtas. And that will finish the subject of the Queens of Dwarka, appreciating Lord Krishna due to his glories and the description of the Nirjalakas. If anybody's got any questions, we'll take two or three because we really need to finish. Dhammaraj Prabhu.
Earlier in your class, Prabhu, you were mentioning that you think Krishna is God because he has, you know, so many kids. I was thinking, you know, Krishna is God because without he has so many, he still doesn't have to work. He just plays his flute and enjoy.
Yeah, he's not going to the lows and punching the clock every day.
Oh. Anyway, so I beg to not to differ or argue with you with your point on Ekadasi, but just to bring up something else on the other side, the flip side, with your permission, if I may. That when we like discuss these topics with all you've been, you know, quoting those books in Puranas, somehow or the other I'm kind of still of that impression that these have been discussed or described more from like a karmakanda point of view rather than devotional service, as how you nicely quoted Srila Prabhupada at the end of, in other words, what Srila Prabhupada is saying, well, devotional service is topmost, and you perform the basic, you know, the basics of these regulations, but service comes first. So whenever I think of this, I always like to, you know, have this qualifying, being a devotee within this Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, within Kali Yuga situation, within the being a Prabhupada Nuga of how we, you know, we carry on observing this. Like sometimes if you look at even that book on Ekadasi, yet again my personal opinion is that I don't think that, you know, like that book was like properly edited to suit nowadays situation, to suit our present situation. Many of those were discussed like way in the past when situations were different, when circumstances were different. And so, for us discussing these topics here, I always like to see the qualifying side of it as to how we can apply it today. Like for example, he's talking about if one hasn't, you know, fasted on Ekadasi, then you do this nirjal, and then that, you know, that can make up. But sometimes we can tend to think, like after, you know, hearing a discussion like this, well, okay, you know, we don't really have to pass on the other Ekadasi, you just do this one Nirjala and then that's it. So, you know, always, like, you know, nice to be having these qualifying statements, and also in terms of our Guru Parampara of basically, you know, following as much as possible, chanting Hare Krishna, keep the Ekadasi, performing services. And that becomes like the topmost for, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. So can you maybe explain a little on that or comment on that?
Well, I would humbly and politely disagree with your initial statement that this is basically karmakanda stuff. I don't think Bhima and Vyasadeva are discussing how to engage in karmakanda activities. And I don't think Sanatana Goswami felt it was necessary to include in the Hari Bhakti Vilas karmakanda activities. These are essential principles of devotional service meant for our advancement. Now, whether everyone can follow them or not, that's what the caveats are all about. But I don't think they can be relegated to the platform of Kandakanda and dismissed. We may not be able to follow them in our particular circumstance, Prabhupada explains that, you know, there are adjustments for that, but I don't think we can say they're karmakanda. That's fine. You have to cut your eye first and then prawn. I'm going to cut it after, well, what to do. I sit home when I hear class, I go, really, the speaker went after 9 o'clock? And on, I'm always the one going, God, don't they see the note on, oh wait. Oh yeah, the note's still there. No. No, the note's gone. Okay. All right.
Well, there it is.
I guess I have to quit criticizing.
You could look at it just like the 64 rounds. Bhakti Siddhanta said, you don't chain a lakh, you're falling. So Prabhupada said, chant 16. Minimum. Doesn't mean that you just chant 16. However, it has been made easier for us. And Prabhupada said a codicil, no grains, no beans. And then some devotees want to stay up all night and drive fast. That's okay. I mean, if you don't have to go out to Sangatan the next day, maybe you can do that. But if I stay up and drive fast all night and sing and dance all night, the next day it's going to be really hard to go out and distribute books. So I try to keep it practical. But these things are ecstatic things that people do. I remember Vaish was fanatic about it. He would drive fast every Ekadasi, no matter what. And he was out there in the airport with me. I was drinking water and eating and whatever, and Vaish would drive fast because he was there. He could do that. And it's really, really amazing when you see that. And there are some devotees that do like that. But for the regular devotees that are trying to figure out how to chant 16, which to me has always been the hardest thing every single day, to do is complete 2 hours of japa, and then I get that done and I want to read some books, you know. And so I have to be practical, and I remember the Prophet said, we do what the Prophet told us to do.
One of the very few times that I had instruction and service with instruction from and service to Srila Prabhupada was in Chicago in 1975. I was cleaning his quarters, one of the four devotees that were cleaning his quarters, and so we'd wait outside his room when he came out of his quarters. He was staying in one householder's apartment, which years later I found out was Sundarupa Prabhu's, just about 3 blocks from the temple. So we'd go over and clean it. He'd come out, go on his morning walk, and then go to give class. So when he'd come out, I had the great fortune of putting a garland on him 5 days in a row. And one of those days, it had rained overnight, and it was still a little sprinkly that morning, not really rain, but there were puddles. So Prabhupada came out, and we immediately offered obeisances. He stopped us. He said, no, not in the cold and the rain. He said, you'll become sick, and then your service will be hampered. So just as this quote we read here, his main concern was our executing service. If you can do your service, and what did he say? And not lie down and sleep, and do nirjal, fine. But if doing nirjal means you can't get out of bed, well, then what's the point? Ron?
I was thinking like two ways to look at it. One conversation Prabhupada has with Kamal Krishna Maharaj, and he says about his godbrother, what's his name? When my godbrother was fasting on Ekadashi Day, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur says, so you're not going for preaching? Hayagriva, that's right, Hayagriva. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur says, take some anukalpa and go and preach. It's more important than just sitting in the temple and thinking fasting. So that's good. We follow that to Prabhupada. But another way to look at it also, that Sanatana Goswami Pad says, because in this community in Alachua, I feel like a lot of family members are capable of doing this nice brata, Ekadashi especially, and they always have somebody in the family member sick or needs help, or some close friend, transfer it. If you really love that devotee, you really want that devotee to come back in full Krishna consciousness, this is the opportunity. We cannot do so many things. This is one of the most important opportunities. Then I can do fasting and transfer the result. I can tell to Radha Samsundar, I did this for that devotee, please bestow your blessing to that. And immediately transfer, and that devotee will feel completely come back to whatever position we think he should or she should. So this is nice for Oka.
Mm-hmm. We do what we can. Chitari?
I was thinking two things. That You were saying Bhaktivinoda wrote these songs, 347 songs.
314.
314. Right?
57 from Narottam.
Yeah. So I was thinking, within each one of those, how many different pastimes were in each one?
Of course.
That's amazing. And the other thing I was wondering are the names of Krishna's daughters mentioned in Bhagavatam?
I have never come across them.
Yeah. You hear the names.
Never come across the names of Krishna's 16,108 daughters? No. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't write it. All right, we'll finish there. My apologies for going over. Hope the Lord forgives me. Hare Krishna.